Dan's message is titled, Anna. His text is from Luke chapter 2, verses 36 and 37. And there was Anna. She was a great age, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day.
I had just finished preaching in the overly warm, cramped confines of the old Pentecostal church in Warsaw, Poland. The room that comfortably held, 150 persons, embraced well over 300 that morning. It was that way in every service, didn't matter who broke the bread of life. Such a sweet spirit of God filled that place. The political euphoria of the land, now under Solidarity Coalition instead of communism, was more than matched by the fervor of the Pentecostal outpouring in that church. As I greeted worshipers at the close of the service, a firm grip clutched my arm, and I turned to look into the face of an old woman. Now, I'm not tall by any stretch of the imagination, but I had to look down at her. She was under 5 feet in height. Her face was severely lined. Her hair was as white as snow. And through the interpreter, she introduced herself, and I learned that she was 94 years old. This woman never missed a service. Her pastor told me that she was a praying saint of God who had long interceded for the spread of the gospel in her nation. She could remember the Nazi occupation of Poland as if it were yesterday. And now her face shone with a radiance as she told me of countless answers to prayer. And my mind raced to scriptures found in the second chapter of Luke, the story of Anna. At the time Luke told the story, 8 days had passed since that fateful night in Bethlehem. A man and his wife had found the only place of rest in the cave below the inn, the place where the guests kept their animals overnight. 2 human beings slipped into that chamber as the sun dipped below the Mediterranean. And when the sun rose the next morning, there were 3. For during the night, Jesus, the Savior, was born. Shepherds had climbed the steep ascent from the ancient fields of Boaz to give witness to earth's greatest triumph and had now gone back to their duties. Here's what happened, as told by Luke. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, to offer a sacrifice, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. While Joseph and Mary and their infant found their place in the temple, they were spotted by an old woman. Her name was Anna. The moment Anna saw the child Jesus, she did an interesting thing. Luke says she gave thanks unto the Lord and spake of Jesus to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. You know, the fact is, Anna became the first missionary for the cause of Christ. And that's remarkable because of all the other things we know about her. Anna was a widow. She and her husband had only 7 precious years together before he died, and that had been 84 years earlier. All that time she had lived in solitude. We know that Anna was of the tribe of Asher, a tribe renowned for its beautiful women. So in all probability, it was not a matter of Anna's having to live alone, it was her choice. Perhaps the Apostle Paul remembered Anna when he wrote to Timothy, "She that is a widow indeed trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day." Oh, Anna was a woman who had known sorrow. She was well acquainted with loneliness, and yet she had never grown bitter or weary of living. It's the unusual person to whom sorrow never comes. Almost every person listening to this broadcast has sometime or other tasted the bitter dregs of suffering or disappointment. Such sorrow can lead you in 1 of 2 directions. You can either become very bitter and disillusioned, or the sorrow can sink your spiritual roots even deeper in the tender soil of God's mercy. That's the path Anna chose. She found God's personal concern for her life sufficient, more than enough. She found in him a lifetime of contentment. Anna was not only a widow for some 84 years, she also had to contend with her great age. She was at least 100, according to many biblical scholars. She knew the meaning of frailty and aches and pains and a body that would no longer obey her every dictate. But her many years could not take away the beauty and life of her heart. Why do some grow old so gracefully, and others seem to begrudge every year? Perhaps if we consider God to be distant and detached, the encroachment of old age is to be feared. But those who know full well that God's hand is always on the helm somehow grow more like the place they're going. Anna could be found regularly at the temple. To this great woman, attendance in God's house was as normal. Why, it was as normal as the sun rising over the Jordan Valley each morning. I sometimes receive letters at revival time from those who claim they can worship at home as well as they can in church. But such a claim is to doubt God's word and its commands. Even a casual observer of our Christian faith will note that those who shirk the gathering of themselves together with God's people on a regular basis are feeble, sickly, usually useless spiritual dyspeptics. The person who neglects the house of prayer will grow dull in eternal conceptions and will be easily led by temptation. It is not from this sporadic group that the missionaries come, or the pastors, or great writers. On the contrary, it's from this backslidden, self-indulgent, disobedient crowd that most of the carnality and strife originates. But on the other hand, those who, like Anna, faithfully attend church are distinguished by their cheerful hope, their devotion to God's work, and their inspiration to others. Anna knew that. And her place in the temple was occupied at every opportunity. The Bible commands each of us not to neglect assembling ourselves together as some do. So, church attendance is not a suggestion from God, it is a command. It was to this faithful woman that God granted the opportunity to minister to Christ. For on that momentous day, when Joseph and Mary came to dedicate the baby Jesus in full Jewish ceremony, Anna's dim eyes beheld the glory of God. On what would have been just an ordinary day, Anna saw Jesus. She recognized him. And now she must tell the news to everybody. Anna was a prophetess. Now, this does not mean she sat in a dark house studying tarot cards or looking into a crystal ball. All too often we equate prophecy with something spooky. To prophesy means to proclaim a divine message, whether that message is the result of study and prayer or a divine revelation uniquely granted by God's Spirit, and a revelation, by the way, that will never contradict Scripture. Anna had now seen the Christ, and she would proclaim that news everywhere she could in the time she had remaining, and thus the old woman became one in that continuous line of prophets and prophetesses who heralded the coming of our Lord through the generations. How long she had waited to behold him, the one the prophet said would bruise the serpent's head. And seeing, she believed, and believing, she proclaimed. And so we violate no historian by saying that after the birth of Jesus, Anna became the first missionary of the gospel. Now the story of Anna speaks a number of vital truths to my heart as both a pastor and as an individual believer. As a pastor, Anna reminds me of the blessing it is to any church body to have those great saints of many years who give stability. Yes, of course, we want new believers whom we train as new disciples, but a church that sets its older believers aside weakens its spiritual structure. Not every new thing that comes down the pike is good, you know. Nor is everything good that comes to us from the past. But those interceding, praying saints will never hold a church back. They, in fact, will increase its momentum in the spread of the gospel. Thank the Lord for the Annas and Simeons in today's church, and for the decades of successful Christian living evident in their lives. But the thing about Anna that strikes me most is this. No sooner did she behold the Savior than she began telling the news everywhere. There's just something about coming into contact with the living Christ that demands the action of evangelism from a believer. When the Virgin Mary learned of the Christ taking form in her womb, she exulted, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Jesus himself said that every spirit-filled believer would be a witness of his life. And Christ alluded to this truth again and again. "Ye are the light of the world," he said. "Ye are the salt of the earth." There is something measurably wrong with a believer or a church that fails in this endeavor on both the individual and church level. Remember Andrew? When Andrew first met Jesus, he could hardly wait to tell his brother Peter. When Paul encountered Christ near Damascus, he set out to tell the news to the entire world. And even old Anna, past the century mark in age, became a strong evangelist for Jesus. Scripture is filled with the stories of those who met Jesus and went out almost immediately as witnesses. And one can only wonder when they meet professing Christians who never witnessed to their faith, have these people really met Jesus? Some years ago, I was a part of a certain evangelistic team, and we did a rather large survey of evangelical believers, and we found that 93% indicated they never share their faith with anybody. Think of that, 93%. And we followed up that first question with this one. Why not? Why haven't you shared your faith? The first response was fear. They're afraid to. The second response was they did not know how. And the third response, and perhaps the most tragic, they had nothing to share. A spirit-filled believer can never use fear as a cop-out, because perfect love casts out all fear, not a little fear or some fear, but all fear. Satan lies to Christians and makes them believe something that doesn't even exist. Reluctance, maybe. Fear, never. And the second response, not knowing how to witness, is a scathing indictment of today's pulpit. We've forgotten that we're in the redemption business and have preached all kinds of other subjects except the one we were supposed to preach. The Bible says that pastors are equippers of the saints so they can do the work of the ministry. And the third response, having nothing to share, eliminates those people from any company with Anna. Anna had worlds to share in the time allotted to her. After all, she had just seen Jesus. Christmas Day is almost upon us, and the saints will relive the days of the shepherds and the magi, and Joseph and Mary and the innkeeper and Gabriel. Some will even mention Simeon. But I suppose not many will remember Anna. And that's sad, because Anna is one of the great heroines of the entire story of Jesus' birth. The outline is simple. She met Jesus. She recognized him for who he was, and she spread the story as far as she possibly could. Hers is a story of faithfulness and spiritual awareness. God give us such saints in today's church, men and women who know Christ personally and intimately, and those who give their lives in the verbal expression of their faith, as long as God gives them breath. So we salute Anna of Jerusalem on this Christmas broadcast. And our prayer is that God will make us more like this first century missionary evangelist. There are many Annas who hear this broadcast and face this holiday season virtually alone. And I want to reach out to you today with a special prayer of love and thanksgiving. You're not forgotten. You are respected and you are revered. It's my honor to reach out to you as we pray. Lord God, there are so many modern-day Annas and Simeons, too, for that matter. And these are precious saints who've labored long and hard in your vineyard. And this Christmas season finds them alone, perhaps neglected and very, very lonely. I thank you for these saints who've led the way for us down through the years, who have remained faithful to your cause and whose love has never dimmed. I pray a special blessing upon them this day. May your presence so fill their homes, their lives, their surroundings, that they will sense a divine manifestation all around them. Thank you for gracing our lives with these dear friends. In Jesus' name.